So today, this weekend, for the first weekend in a long time, there'll be virtually no sports, right? Although I think the UFC card is still going on, but there'll be virtually no sports other than that. So do you have a movie that you would go to automatically and watch again?
I do, Greg, and I'm just going to say it's going to be weird with no sports, but this is the situation we're in. And, I mean, this one's a classic, but I loved it as a kid. It scared the living bejesus out of me. And then as I got older, I fell in love with it, and it's still my go-to, and that's Ghostbusters, man. I absolutely love Ghostbusters and everything about it. Even the sequel, Ghostbusters 2, people dump all over it. They don't like it. They say it was terrible, and it shouldn't have happened, and I disagree. I love Ghostbusters 2. I gave the last Ghostbusters a try. I watched it like three times, Greg, and I think the writing really let it down. The all-female cast, listen, Kate McKinnon's amazing. Melissa McCarthy's great as well. Kristen Wiig, Chris Hemsworth in that one. But the villain was weak in the last Ghostbusters. And I think the writing was awful, and it really let it down. So I'm looking forward to this new one with Jason Reitman writing and directing it. But I'm a huge Ghostbusters geek, Greg. I went to the Howler years ago with my buddies, and all four of us were Ghostbusters. So I'm all over that.
Huh. That's
Is that surprising?
Yeah, I wasn't expecting Ghostbusters, but that's okay. That's nice. I like it. Everybody's got a flick that you just like to watch. And because really, there's movies that are going to make you feel good and you like. Yeah. And I think right now, that's what we need. So we can sit down and watch a new movie and it might be good, but there's nothing wrong with watching one where you know what? Yeah, I know it's coming, but it's still awesome.
Right. And that's the thing. Like, I know Ghostbusters, it plays like every weekend on AMC or whatever, those old movie reruns and all that, and I'll stop and I'll just watch it, and I'll say the word, I'll play along to the quotes. I just, everything about it. I love Harold Ramis. I love Bill Murray, obviously. Everyone still loves Bill Murray, but I think he was at his peak during Ghostbusters, and, you know, you got Dan Aykroyd in there, and we don't see Rick Moranis anymore. I think he's just coming out of retirement from acting to do Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, because they're rebooting, like, everything, Greg. That's the one thing I don't understand now about Hollywood, is everything's a reboot. You know what I mean? Nobody just leaves the originals and the classics alone anymore. Everything's being rebooted. Like, we're doing Batman for the ninth time here, and that kind of baffles me. But, yeah, Ghostbusters, for whatever reason, is my old go-to, and even more so than Ninja Turtles, because as a child of the 80s, I was a geek for Ninja Turtles as well.
I'll be honest, I've never seen Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It came out when I was like a young adult, and I just didn't resonate with me at all. Well, but Batman, there are so many different Batmans now. I'm with you. I'm like, okay, how many different ways can they go about it? Like, I kind of know the story.
Yeah, exactly. And like, listen, the one with the Christopher Nolan did, fantastic, okay? Took it on a more dark path, the whole Dark Knight saga. I get that. I liked it. But Michael Keaton in Batman and Batman Returns, I think those were the two best. And like the whole Ben Affleck thing, that didn't work out. Now they're doing it with what's his name from Twilight. Like, enough already. Like, come on. Are we going to do this over and over and over again? So it really blows my mind. Ninja Turtles, by the way, the first one, I'm surprised you didn't give the first one a chance. I think it was 1990 it came out. And it stuck to the more traditional comic book, which is actually pretty dark, not like the cartoon. Okay. That hooked in kids like me back in the day. It was actually pretty dark. It had some swearing in it. And by the time they did the second and third Ninja Turtles, they had really made it kid-friendly, kind of like how Batman went the same way in the Val Kilmer one and George Clooney ones, where it was just a joke, basically.
To me, I think you could have a great debate on which is the best Batman film. Do you have one? If you had to pick one, which is the greatest Batman film you've ever seen?
Yeah, and this, like, this could go so many ways, but I really like Batman Returns. I the whole Penguin thing and Catwoman, like, to me, Batman Returns was the one.
That was with DeVito, and then was it Michelle Pfeiffer?
Yeah.
Oh, she was so sexy in that movie. Oh, man.
Her, Elizabeth Shue, Christy Brinkley, and Vacation. There's another movie series that I love is Vacations. Those are great. Who else in the 80s? Kim Basinger.
Kim Basinger.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. So, yeah, Michelle Pfeiffer in the Catwoman suit is she's a knockout. She's still a beautiful woman now. But for whatever reason, Batman Returns was the Batman that I would be like, yeah, I'm going to sit down and watch this. It was on the other day on the Rewind movie channel, and I watched it. I'm like, this is good. I like this. So that, to me, is the Batman that won my heart.
Well, that's right. We're getting a lot of votes for The Dark Knight.
That one was great, though. See, that's the thing.
That was with Heath Ledger and Christian Bale, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Can't ignore that one.
Well, you know what, though? The original one, Jack Nicholson was unbelievable as the original Joker.
And I can't deny that, too. And that's the thing is, like, I remember that one. And listen, I think it was like 4 or 5 when it came out. I love Batman, but it scared the crap out of me, just like Ghostbusters. And then I think when Batman Returns came out, I was kind of older and could understand it a little bit better, and it kind of resonated more with me. But yeah, the first one, like, I think Keaton played Batman the best. Like, the subtle nuances in dealing with the duality of, is he Bruce Wayne, is he Batman, who is Batman to him? I thought he was great with that. There's subtle humor in how he played Bruce Wayne as well. And Keaton's among one of the greats, I think, in Hollywood to this day. So that's my appreciation for him as well.
All right. Tom Gazzola joins us. So is there, what about, because I know you like a little cheese at times, Gazzola. So what is your go-to date movie that you would want to watch again?
I'm not a romantic comedy guy. I would throw on something like Zoolander, Greggs. I'm not going to lie to you.
That's not a romantic comedy.
Just a dumb laugh.
I know, it's true. It's funny. Oh, Zoolander is awesome.
It's timeless. And here's another one. An obscure
the
one
files
that
are in the computer.
Exactly. Anything that Mugatu says, like, what is this? A center for ants? This needs to be at least 3 times bigger. And you see Will Ferrell as Mugatu, and he just looks at his assistant, Todd, and he goes, he's absolutely right. Just stupid stuff like that. I can't get enough of. And then how about this one, Greg? Do you remember A Night at the Roxbury?
Oh, buddy, I love that movie.
Great movie. It gets terrible reviews, but all of it, like, I just love all of it. Great cameos, and that was the start of Will Ferrell's rise to the top.
Oh, that great movie. Superbad is unbelievable. Superbad's highly recommended. Tom, what did you make? We've had a lot of people texting in. We're seeing more and more. You've had Tampa Bay has come out, and Anaheim, and many other teams. Florida, Sergei Bobrovsky's donated it. He's pledged $100,000 towards salaries of the arena workers, and the Florida management's doing more. I know you asked Anselmi about the Edmonton Orders. And he said, well, you know, they haven't decided. Now, there's no race to want to do it, but based on the feedback we're getting on the show, if the Oilers don't do that, man, there's going to be a lot of very upset Edmonton Oiler fans. And because it doesn't impact them, they're just talking about those workers.
Yeah, and you know, we're all curious as to what's going to happen. That's why I asked them to tell me about the game night staff specifically. I personally would like to see them get paid. Like, listen, Greg, you're around that rink as much, if not more, than I am, and you deal with those people just as much as I do, and they're counting on that money. I know there's a lot of people affected financially about this current situation, in regard to this current situation, but I'd like to see them at least be compensated to some extent, because I think, you know, we're seeing other organizations lead the way, and I think it's something that I admire and appreciate and have a lot of respect for, and it's good. It's just a good thing to do. It comes from the heart, I think, to a certain extent, and I'd like to see OEG follow suit to just pay these employees that are game night staff that are part-timers for the money that they would be getting if there were games going on. I understand it's a business. I understand the bottom line is important, but if other teams, Greg's around the National Hockey League that might not be as profitable or bring in as much revenue as the Oilers do, are able to pull through a little bit and chip in and help these staff members out, then why can't the Oilers? That would be my question to them if they decided not to do it. I ideally would like to see them do it, Greg.
And Tommy, I have one other question for you today. If you could only watch one hockey game this weekend, they're going to give you any DVD, you can download anywhere, one game. Which NHL hockey game would you watch?
Oh, good one. You know what? The Canadiens and Soviets on, what was it, New Year's Eve, like 1979? It was like a 3-3 tie. Do you remember that game?
No, I do not.
I remember during the first lockout, Hockey Night in Canada played it. My dad insisted I watch it. And I was like, this is garbage. Why do I care about a game from the late 70s? And it was amazing. I was just in awe of the Soviets and how they played and how they took it to the Habs. And that was the Habs, at the end of their dynasty, I think it was, in the 70s, of course.
Was it the Canadiens against the Red Army? Is that the one you're talking? Okay.
Yeah, that was the one. And it was an amazing game. Like, it was a great game. And it was new to me. It was foreign. I didn't know that occurred back in the day, that during the Cold War, that, just having the Red Army team come over and playing against club teams in the NHL was a thing. Obviously, they played WHA teams and NHL teams in the ensuing years as well. But something about that game, it just captured me. And so many things about it blew my mind. Just Ken Dryden playing in goal, Vladislav Tretiak at the other end, and I remember asking my dad a million questions about the Soviets and the Red Army and all that, and it just, because all I knew really back then was the Oilers and most of the Canadian teams, and I think at the time, the Canucks were the hot team in the NHL, and so were the Rangers, and the Kings, obviously, with Gretzky at that time, and it was so fascinating to me, Greg, that it made me study up and read more about the Red Army team and how the Soviets really developed their passion for hockey and how they did things differently from Canadians. It was an eye-opener for sure. So I'd watch that one over and over again.
Okay. I love it, Tommy. Well, have yourself a good weekend. We'll chat with you Monday.
Sounds good, Greg. You too. Let's